This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Lawyers, guns, and money. I'm David Brancaccio. President Biden announced several firearms safety measures yesterday to limit, for instance, ghost guns, where people get parts and put them together. And Biden has a related wish list for Congress, including one about lawsuits. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here. Nova, Biden wants to get rid of liability protections for firearms companies.
Right. When he announced executive actions on guns yesterday, the president mentioned something he's also brought up on the campaign trail. Here he is.
The only industry in America, a billion-dollar industry, that can't be sued, has exempt from being sued, are gun manufacturers. Imagine how different it would be had that same exemption been available to tobacco companies.
So what the president is talking about there is the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. And it does shield gun manufacturers from a lot of lawsuits. Not all, though, families of Sandy Hook victims do have a pending lawsuit right now, David.
Now, that shield law was passed, I think, in 2005. Remind us why it exists.
Well, you heard the president mention the tobacco industry. So let's head back to the 1990s, actually. The tobacco companies were facing a bunch of lawsuits over cigarettes, and gun makers were getting sued, too, by local governments. But they managed to get this liability shield passed. Of course, we know the tobacco companies ended up with a big settlement. The president is suggesting that that's maybe where we're headed if the gun manufacturers' liability protections are taken away, that they may end up perhaps settling and making changes to their business if there are a lot of lawsuits down the road, David.
And if Congress were to do this. Nova, thanks. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Marcia Fudge has announced $5 billion in grants to state and local governments to make more affordable housing and promote services for people who are homeless or at risk for having no place to go. The money comes from the latest COVID relief package. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
Homelessness went up more than 2% between 2019 and 2020, and that was before the pandemic.
There's no question that the pandemic has put more people at risk.
Ann Oliva at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says states, cities, and towns will be able to spend this money from HUD in a few ways.
It can be used for tenant-based rental assistance.
And it can also be used to buy and renovate properties,
which are in many places hotels and motels that might be for sale.
That a city could turn into permanent affordable housing for people who are homeless. Those are the kinds of things Giselle Ruthier would like to see. She's policy director at the Coalition for the Homeless in New York.
The best way to address homelessness is to provide housing, right? The root causes of homelessness is the lack of affordable housing in New York City and in many other cities across the nation.
So if local governments actually use this funding to increase the amount of affordable housing, Ruthier says it could make a significant difference. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Stock index futures are mixed. The NASDAQ one is down 0.2%. The Dow future is up 0.2%. The art critic, whom we consult on this program from time to time, thinks a federal appeals court got it wrong the other day with a ruling about what is called fair use, how much legal leeway an artist has to build on or take from someone else's work. Broad brush, so to speak, the ruling says it was wrong for the late Andy Warhol to trace and colorize a black and white photo of the late musical genius Prince without getting the rights from the photographer, Lynn Goldsmith. What does this mean in a world where musicians sample, people quote or clip, or artists like Warhol take one thing and make it, say, a Warhol? Critic Blake Gopnik wrote an opinion piece about this in the New York Times this week. Hiya.
Hey, David.
A federal appeals court now says Warhol didn't mess with the photo enough to qualify for fair use, and now somebody owes the photographer money?
Yeah, I think it's really important to realize that copyright law, it's an economic arrangement. It's saying, yeah, we want to encourage people to be creative, to make stuff by making it profitable for them. But we also want to balance that with the need of other peoples to reuse those original works, those objects. So we need parody. We need criticism. We need artists to be able to take someone else's work and transform it, make it into something new, even if it doesn't look all that different. So when Andy Warhol took Brillo boxes and re-presented them as works of art, they look just like the original Brillo boxes, but they function completely differently, right? A Brillo box in a supermarket stock room is a completely different thing than an Andy Warhol Brillo box in a museum. And what I was trying to say in my New York Times article was that that matters, that appropriation art really does something for us. And for the Second Circuit Court to say, no, 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 appropriation art doesn't really count. It's not really a valid reuse of someone else's work. But this sets a precedent.
Well, the judges in this appeals court case were pretty specific. They have a new rule, which is collage is okay, but not what they consider minor transformation.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing. Every lawyer I've spoken to said that is completely bizarre that they've decided that collage is the way to go. And, you know, some people say, well, why didn't the Andy Warhol Foundation just pay a fee? But what happens when the person who holds the copyright just refuses to settle on any fee? What if they say, I want $1 billion? What you're doing by allowing this to happen is saying that you shouldn't be able to reuse someone else's work unless you change it completely by turning it into a crazy collage. That seems to go against everything that museums have been collecting for the last, 50 years.
Art critic Blake Gopnik has an opinion piece in the New York Times about this. He's the author of Warhol, the comprehensive biography. Blake, thank you.
Always a pleasure, David.
The photographer here, Goldsmith, and the icon Warhol each have fierce defenders in this. It's possible the U.S. Supreme Court might have a look. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.